You're listening to another episode of Classic Movies Live, the pre-recorded show where we talk about movies that just came out. And one thing that we like to do on Classic Movies Live here is sometimes we'll, you know, talk about a director and we'll want to talk about everything that director's ever done from that point onwards. So, for example, here's a bad example, but an example nonetheless. We talked about Avatar. And since then, we've talked about every movie that James Cameron has done since Avatar. Obviously, James Cameron has done two movies since Avatar, so that's not super impressive. But the reason I even bring that up in the first place is that last year, maybe 2 years ago, probably 2 years ago, we talked about a little movie called Dream Scenario by Christopher Borgli. And, well, Christopher Borgli has another movie out now called The Drama. This one is very popular. As you will hear, I actually couldn't get into it the day before we recorded. I'd already seen it. I went ahead, like, I saw this back, like, the day it came out. But, yeah, I wanted to see it again, and I couldn't, because this is a movie that's, you know, it's a movie everyone's talking about. We're probably really late to the game there. On that note, though, because we are so late to the game, we do have spoilers in this, but we give a very good spoiler warning. This is a movie that probably you do not want spoiled. Even if you think you may, even if you think it's fine to spoil it, you know, maybe you're right, but you should go in as blind as you can. And so we will give you a spoiler warning. You will hear that. It's very, very prominent. We make sure to, you know, not say any spoilers until the spoiler warning. So be on the lookout for that. And this is interesting. This is a fun movie to talk about. It's a fun movie to think about. There's a lot going on in here. And we talk a little bit about another movie that I had just seen, prior to recording this, called Our Hero Balthazar. And there's a little bit in there about a few other filmmakers here and there. We kind of went off on some tangents, some expected, some maybe unexpected. One of them, you know, a classic incomprehensible tangent from me. I'm excited to see if to see what you guys think. So here's going to be a little bit of the drama in just a minute. But first, a song from Daniel Pemberton. This is actually the song called The Drama off of the original soundtrack. And one thing that's so cool that we didn't talk about in this episode, but I'm going to talk about a little bit here. Daniel Pemberton recorded the entire soundtrack for The Drama with three flautists. The entire soundtrack for The Drama is just three flutes. It's really interesting how well that ends up working. Unfortunately, we didn't actually talk about it in the episode, but you're going to hear a little bit of it now. And if you haven't seen The Drama yet, when you go see it, you know, be listening for it. It's really cool. Here's a little bit of the drama. You're listening to another episode of Classic Movies Live. We're back after however long it's been since the last one for yet another episode. This is an episode that is in the numbering is going to come one after the previous one that we did. Very exciting stuff.
Wow.
How do you feel, Pierre?
I feel great. I feel great to be back after that hiatus. After we were almost canceled But the fans brought us back.
Thank you to the fans. If you're a fan, drop a comment below. Make sure to smash that like button.
Yeah. Can you like podcasts on Spotify? Is that a thing?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Oh, really? Okay.
You can give like 5-star reviews, and people should. People should give us a lot of 5-star reviews.
Oh, okay, as you can tell, not a podcast on
Spotify. Well, that reminds me. I gotta get us more platforms. Like, we're on Spotify, which is great. I hope we have a lot of people who listen on. I hope that all of our Spotify fans continue to listen to us on Spotify. But you know, we got some Apple podcast fans Ooh. Out there too who can't listen to us on Apple Podcasts.
Oh, really?
We're not on there. I tried to get on there a few years ago, and they just rejected me for some reason.
Apple's pretty. We're too bold for them. Apple's
probably on account of all the dicey stuff we used to say. No. Remember when we talked about Mario and we were like, "This guy is played by Chris Pratt."
I mean, for Apple, that's pretty dicey to say that.
Yeah.
Especially now that they're in film. Actually, no, that's not fair. Apple's been taking pretty big swings in film. I take it back.
They have been taking pretty big swings. You know that because they don't hire Chris Pratt.
Yeah. And they can afford to spend millions of dollars on shows that don't make any money because it's Apple. This is like a tax write-off for them, I think, or something.
There's actually, there's a movie that, this is a random aside because I haven't even seen this movie yet, but like, Jonah Hill just put out a new movie on Apple that I heard it's not very good, but I also heard that it's really, really interesting in like very specifically Jonah Hill ways. Like it's kind of autobiographical, because like Jonah Hill had that whole controversy a few years ago, I guess, to put it very, very lightly. And it's like his side of the story, and people are like, "Yeah, you are." And like the one review I saw, I was like, "Yeah, well, it shows that he is kind of a piece of shit." That's what this movie tells me.
Yeah, it's so sad. I remember thinking Jonah Hill was like, he was such an interesting figure. I think around 2014, 2015, you know, he's like, he was starting to get into writing, and like, I think he wrote 22 Jump Street.
He was
a co-writer, right? Or maybe it was story by, and he was just coming off, you know, The Wolf of Wall Street, and I was really, and he was getting into directing with, what was it, in the 80s or the mid-90s?
Mid-90s.
Which was like honestly a pretty solid directorial debut. And then that White People movie came out with Eddie Murphy, and I was like, what is he doing? Like, I don't understand this man. Like, I thought he had so much potential. And I mean, I guess he's been on quite an interesting little adventure on his side of, I wouldn't say Hollywood, but whatever side of whatever niche he's in now. Surfing? Yeah. Is he like a surfer now or something?
No, I believe his girlfriend was, and that's sort of where that controversy happened.
Oh,
he was
that's
like
where.
Not cool to her.
Oh, okay, right. I knew surfing was in there somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember back in 2014, he like went on SNL, and like the whole one of his entire bits was that he was like becoming a really pretentious film actor. And it was like kind of funny, I guess. But then looking back on it, I'm like, oh, that was just who he was.
I mean, well, yeah, maybe.
I mean, like, not like he always was. No, he was definitely, playing it up for the bit. But like, he was like playing a character that was like, he was playing a character who like, he's Jonah Hill, and now he's getting into serious acting. Like, he's going to get an Oscar, and now he's like better than everyone else. And he was obviously playing that up, but like, there's a lot more. It kind of feels like a lot more of that was true than which doesn't feel like it was not that hard to play up.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I wouldn't have minded that if he actually ended up doing anything else that was really good, and then he just kind of went on to do nothing really amazing, I think, afterwards. Right? I can't think of anything after what Jump Street 2 that was like great that he was in. I'm having a hard time
thinking of anything he was in,
like
after
War Dogs.
It's not War nothing Dogs, but like, and... oh yeah, War Dogs was kind of funny.
Yeah, that definitely felt like a they wanted it to be like a Oscar movie.
Oh no, definitely wouldn't have been an Oscar movie though. it was kind of funny, but like it was, I would say unremarkable.
Yeah. Why him? Lego Batman. Don't worry, mid-90s. Oh wow, he actually, yeah, he hasn't. Oh, Don't Look Up. He actually was pretty good in Don't Look Up.
I actually completely forgot about
him. He was Meryl Streep's son.
I was gonna say I need to watch that movie again, but I'm not sure I do.
You really don't.
I don't remember it as well as I feel like I should.
Interesting.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know how you're talking about Jonah Hill.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah, kind of side quest. We're talking about, wait, what are we talking about again? Oh, the drama. Yeah.
By Christopher Borgli. We talked about Dream Scenario last year, and now we're talking about the drama.
Did we?
Actually, Dream Scenario was 2 years ago, I think.
Did we talk about... I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, we did. We talked about Dream Scenario.
Oh, we did. Yeah, you're right. Okay, never mind. Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. Yeah, interesting director.
Yeah, you were there, too.
Yeah. The, Now that's kind of... Because I think one thing I'm kind of linking with the style is that he's a very aggressive editor, and or he has very aggressively edited movies, I'd say. And Dream Scenario, yeah, kind of, when I think about it, that's the only thing that would really link them for me. I don't know if you would agree with that. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
No, I'm just trying to think back. I wanted to rewatch this movie, but I did see it kind of a while ago, so I'm trying to think of the editing, and I think you're right.
That's just what, like, I bet, like, this was like 3 years ago or something, but I just vaguely remember like a lot of like hard cuts and like a lot of the dreams, the way he edited the dreams and like real life switches were like interesting.
And he does, like, I mean, like a lot of directors will do very, very short shot lengths, but he'll do them. Then he'll do like short shots that feel very short. Like he'll insert something into, I think there's a scene where like Robert Pattinson in this movie is kind of breaking down and he's thinking of things. And those thoughts are like inserted, like he's, you know, thinking very hectically.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that was most interesting about this. I've never watched a movie. I'm like, damn, this editing's like intense, you know. Like it's usually like one of those, you know, in best editing when we're doing the Oscars, it's like, oh yeah, this had good pacing and like whatever. This was like, this was the art, the editing felt very much like the biggest part of the directing. Which was cool. I've never really seen that before, to be honest. So but yeah, the drama starring Robert Pattinson and Zendaya, both
having big I was gonna right say now. Both having big years this year too. They're in like every movie.
Is Robert Pattinson in Dune as well?
Robert Pattinson and Zendaya are both in Dune. Robert Pattinson and Zendaya are both in The Odyssey.
Oh, I mean, at this point, it's like just there's so many people, and like Tom Holland's in both of those. No, wait, no, that's a lie. Never mind.
Tom Holland is not in Dune.
He is not in Dune. Yeah,
that's but Tom Holland and Zendaya are in Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. The new one.
Yeah. Oh right, and she has Euphoria coming out right now, which I'm
that's cool. I've heard good things, but it's also Euphoria, so I've heard lots of bad things too. Mm-hmm, so who knows.
Yeah. But yeah, no, these are both great actors, and I think they're both kind of in their prime, which is really cool to see. And this was a movie that, what, I don't think I was really interested in watching, to be honest. I didn't see any trailers, but the drama just sounds kind of like a lame, it just sounded like some kind of romance movie, and I wasn't too interested, to be honest, but I did go end up seeing it, and it is very, it's probably one of the most, it's definitely one of the most unique movies I've ever seen, to be honest, in terms of I'd say specifically in terms of like tonal structure. Okay. It's very weird, and you don't know what to expect at all going in.
Yeah.
Like for such a simple, you know, like I'd say for the first 10 minutes, it feels like, you know, like pretty straightforward rom-com slash, pretty straightforward rom-com. And then it, you know, the way it devolves over the course of the movie is just very, very interesting. And Maybe it's because I didn't see any trailers, but like, consistently, I was just like, I don't understand where this is going. And I was just very, and that, that doesn't usually happen in romance movies because you're just like, they're gonna end up together in the end, usually. But yeah.
It takes a lot of really interesting twists and turns, like very early. Like obviously there's, the big thing that a lot of people that I know that like before they saw this movie, they knew that there's some big secret that is revealed. And obviously there is some big secret that is revealed that is like the big twist, not halfway through the movie, but like fairly early into the movie. But even before that, like they're getting ready for their wedding, and like there's already like little cracks here and there where it's like, oh, I can see how this might go. And then it, that those threads all get followed up on, but not in the way you expect.
And I'd also say there's so much of it that's just very, like, for such a straightforward premise, I like. Technically, I think there's so much in this movie up to interpretation. But I also think you can watch this movie and not feel the need to interpret anything at all. You can take it for face value,
Well, I've seen
and
some
it
people
would
take it
be
at face value, and I have not
okay.
terribly loved
Right.
their reviews, but
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, I think that's what makes it further interesting. Like, I can talk to someone and they'd be like, it's a pretty straightforward movie. There's nothing. It's a crazy movie, but I wouldn't interpret anything else about it. I'm like, oh, really? That in itself is like really interesting.
I've seen some people say this movie, well, we'll get there, but I've seen some people say this movie is about something that I think is just, it's not even kind of about. So, there's a lot of opinions on this movie. A lot of opinions. Yeah,
Jeff,
what's
what
your
is
opinion?
the oh, what's the let's hear what the drama is about first.
Okay, I'm gonna try and say it as spoiler-free as I can, so I'm basically just gonna explain pretty much the inciting incident, I guess. So the drama is about, let me grab their names, Emma Harwood and Charlie Thompson, played by Zendaya and Robert Pattinson. Robert Pattinson, Charlie Thompson is a museum director. Emma Harwood is apparently a bookstore clerk, but I didn't remember that. I don't think either of, well, Charlie's job as a museum director gets, he spends a lot of time in that, and you do kind of get that. Emma's job, I don't think, comes up nearly as much. But anyway, they're a young couple that are getting married, and they are preparing for their wedding that's going to be like next week. So they're, writing vows, talking to the caterers, and preparing the dance, and like talking to their friends, all that stuff. And both of them are a little nervous, but like initially, it doesn't seem like they're nervous, any more than would be expected of two people getting married. And then one like as they're preparing for things, as they're working on like figuring out the catering, and one of their friends, one of their couple friends, says, "Let's play this fun game where we reveal the worst thing we've ever done." And that turns out to have been a very bad idea because, well, I th this part I think I can say. Emma reveals something that is very shocking. And a lot of the movie is about basically, is what she revealed actually bad? How do we deal with, knowing this thing? How does everyone else deal with knowing this thing? This secret about Emma that they never would have guessed, I guess, that they never knew before. It sort of reveals, has she revealed a new side of herself, essentially? And I think, I don't know, did I leave out anything that's really important? I can't go further than that because that I have to
Yeah,
spoil
I know
that,
it's
and we'll
tough.
get there, but
No, honestly, yeah, the twist. I don't know, is it a twist if it happens in like the first 20 minutes?
It's not really, like, I don't know if twist is the right word. I don't have a better word, but I don't know if that's the right one.
I would just say, I guess it's just like something that wasn't advertised. It'd be like Thanos
Well,
is like Thanos's head getting cut off, a twist.
the thing is, like, the advertising for this is she's gonna reveal something crazy.
Oh,
Like,
was it?
so,
Okay, never mind
yeah,
then.
so it's
Yeah,
not a
it's
twist. It is a reveal because it's something that was intentionally kept, but like
Right. It's
it's not
also
so much
like
a
the whole
twist.
premise of the movie, though, I think.
Oh, what the heck? There's a I just discovered there is an actor in this that is in another movie that I'm going to talk about later.
Whoa.
Cool stuff.
I really liked it. I thought it was, I think it's maybe my favorite watch of the year, to be honest. It's weird. It's funny. It's kind of romantic in some weird ways, but like mostly not. It really makes you, you know, question a lot about, it tackles themes like redemption, what is true love, kind of, you know, gets into the integrity of like marriage as a institution, I think. And like what does it mean to spend the rest of your life with someone as well? And, also like what are secrets or are our secrets or the actions that we don't do, do those make up us who we are as well?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and it's tough too, because you look at this movie and I don't think there's a bad guy, but I can totally, I mean, there might be one. I'd say
yeah, there's
there
one.
Might be one pretty bad person. But you know, like with, the Robert Pattinson and Zendaya, I gotta look up their names now because
Charlie and Emma.
With Charlie and Emma, I don't envy their position, because I think it's tough because Charlie is looking at Zendaya and he wants to love her and he doesn't think anything's wrong with what was revealed, but there's also a part of him that you can't just go back, you know, once you learn something. And yeah. It's like, it's only human that, especially in such a tumultuous time as the week of their wedding, that you are going to be extremely emotionally conflicted and unsure. And that's not necessarily his fault.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not her fault either. It just is. You know.
Yeah, I think that this is actually, I think this movie is actually like a really good, I think it's a really good romantic comedy, because it kind of follows the most important beats in a way that I think is a little unconventional. Essentially, in my opinion, they start out the movie as not a very good couple, and by the end, I don't necessarily think they're like an amazing couple, but like they get together in a better way over the course of the movie. I think they become a better couple by the end.
See, that's what's interesting. Like in my interpretation, I don't think they end up together in the end. I think that
really?
Was like, yeah, I always kind of saw that as like their last conversation, to be honest.
Oh, see, I saw that opposite. I saw that as basically their first conversation.
Like, I know, but that's interesting about that scene. Yeah. Like, I've heard a lot of people say completely opposite things about that.
Interesting. Yeah, because the way that I see it, like early on, the biggest things that stick out to me is like, you know, they seem cute enough together, but like they kind of don't know very much about each other. Their entire relationship is built around like the first time they met was Charlie was lying about reading a book that he hadn't read. And like a lot of their relationship, I wouldn't say a lot of their relationship is based on lies, but like a pretty core part of their relationship is not actually knowing that much about each other. And by the end, I wouldn't say that they know that much about each other anyway, but like they've learned a little bit about each other for better and worse. And then by the end, it's like, okay, let's actually start a relationship now. And I don't know how it ends up from there, because that's the end of the movie.
Mm.
But like the end of the movie, I mean, this is kind of a spoiler, but we've already spoiled it a little bit. The end of the movie is basically a let's try again. This is our first conversation now. And I don't know. I think it's really sweet, because it feels more honest at that moment than like a few times early on where they like do like in their first meeting, he comes over and Charlie comes over to have a conversation with Emma, totally biffs it. And she's like, do you want to try again? And so he like gets a try again there, but like that feels, you know, it's a guy hitting on a girl in a coffee shop And, you know, it works out. So great. But like by the end, it kind of feels like, all right, we've gone through this whole thing. Let's try this again for real. And it feels like more sincere in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I can totally see. I can totally see it your way. I think it's also just like, we'll get into it later, but like a lot of what builds up, I don't really understand how you come back from that either. And like, you know, like, I guess like, yeah, at least I couldn't. I don't know. I will tell you, like, I haven't cringed that hard in a theater in a long time. It's very tough to watch a movie. It's very anxiety inducing.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I mean, then there's so many other, like, that's what I love about talking about this movie too, is like, there's so many, not just that ending scene, but there's so many parts and layers to this where you can just kind of be like, oh, I interpret this differently. And that's the thing too, is like, it's also not tough to not interpret, which I really enjoyed. I'm having a tough time not talking about the whole movie now because
we're gonna have to spoil the big thing.
Right.
But we're 20 minutes in, and here's a spoiler warning. So if you have not yet seen the drama,
it's a great movie.
Yes, there you go. I also loved it. I think that so far it is also probably my favorite movie of the year. Will that change? We'll find out. There's lots of months left in the year, but go see it if you haven't. Yesterday, I tried to go see it again. Now, for context, we're recording this like 2 weeks after it came out. Sold out theater. I could not go. It was sold out. So
that's crazy.
A lot of people still like it. Might still be in theaters for a bit, but go and see it now because everyone wants to talk about this movie.
Yeah. yeah. So she's spoilers. It's a school shooting movie. She admits that she had planned and almost carried out a school shooting. And what's interesting about this whole thing is that I think the movie keeps so much of what happened vague, but also shows a lot of it that you really can kind of piece to it. I feel like it's up to the audience to piece together what they believe about her. You know, and I think that really puts you in Charlie's shoes, where he's seems to be only getting bits and pieces, because that's the thing too. You'll never be there and know for sure. And even like, you know, and memory is a fickle thing. She probably doesn't even remember 100% what happened. It was like 15 years ago, you know, or what, you know, she won't remember exactly what she was thinking at the time either. And that's what's cool about the editing too, is that like, I think in some ways it's, this movie kind of sets up like false editing and false scenes, if that makes sense. Like there's a couple scenes we see where like the first one that pops to mind is the day after, the morning after, he finds out they do that night of revealing secrets, and we get these aggressive kind of cuts into them. What they would like this moment to me, which is them laughing together, and it's like sunny outside, and then it cuts to them sitting silently on separate ends of the couch and not knowing what to say. Mm-hmm. And it's the little things like that that make you kind of also doubt certain cuts to her past, and you're wondering how accurate are these? Are these her interpretations? Are these his interpretations? Or are these what actually happened, you know? And that's the thing, it's like Charlie doesn't know whether he can fully trust her, because the thing is, this seems like a pretty big deal. Like, she didn't do it, but like this seems to be something that he would have liked to know, and he's uncomfortable, like, especially not like the week before their wedding.
All right.
And it's not something that I guess never came up, because she did have an ear problem. Like, she's deaf in one ear directly because of these plans.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been making up another excuse. Right. So part of him is like, I don't know if I can believe a lot of who she is or what she says. And a lot of her characters put into doubt. Right. Which is understandable. And yeah, I think what's interesting too, is like, Emma doesn't really seem to remember very well either, and she, her explanations to me, it never seemed very concrete, which to me as a viewer also, I'm like, oh, okay, like what did happen? I don't know. And that's what's kind of scary about it too, is like, no matter how much you trust her now, she seems like a great person now. There is this element of doubt of like, but how much of the truth is she telling, you know? And you can never get away from that. That's just part of love. Sometimes you just have to trust. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's interesting, because like she doesn't, I mean, she's not exactly forthcoming, but at the same time, like, she kind of, to me, it felt like she kind of owns it. Like, she's very embarrassed of it. And, but like, you know, once the secret's out, anytime that it comes up, she's like, I don't really want to talk about it, but yes, this happened. I don't really want to talk about it. And then the more you learn about her, I kind of get why, because as far as like that story is obviously what makes up a huge part of the movie, but like within her life, we only get like hints to it because it's not as big a part of the movie, but within her life, that looks like it was, you know, a week or a couple of weeks. And then everything else, like a lot of her life was spent sort of also recovering from learning that about herself, basically. Like, there's a scene later on where her dad gives a speech at her wedding, which is like, oh, you became a passionate, political advocate against guns, which I think is, you know, that action speaks an awful lot more than the inaction of, you know, not going through with the school shooting.
Yeah. I mean, that's the, I think you can, how do I say this? Yeah, I think you can interpret her actions differently. Because, like, the whole reason she didn't do it is kind of kept vague. They never really explain why. They show some reasons. She never explains it from, like, her mouth to Charlie, right, at least, that we see.
There's a really funny sequence where, like, she keeps trying to write a letter and things keep happening. Like, she gets a blue screen or word crashes.
Yeah, that's what, like, it's such, there's so many dark comedic moments in this that, like, it just elevates the movie so much. I'd say it is mostly a comedy, a dark comedy.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest. But I remember specifically really waiting to hear a specific reason for why she didn't do it. And she never really gives it. And I think that's interesting, because I'm not saying, like, again, I'm not saying this as a judge of her character or whatever, but I am saying this in terms of, like, if I was in Charlie's shoes, and I can't get a concrete answer from a person that I'm supposed to marry about, like, something that is pretty heavy, I would wonder how much of her can I trust, if that makes sense. If she can't tell me if I believe she's not giving me the full truth. And yeah, she never mentions exactly why. And I think that's what, like, further elevates the movie. Because there are some, like, I think there are some interpretations of how, like, for example, I think one of them is that she just straight up didn't feel cool doing it anymore because someone else did it. And she felt, took the wind out of her sails. That was actually one reason she stated. Second of all, what there was her kind of seeing the pain around her and realizing how much pain she could have caused, and helping her relate to more people. But that's the reason that's given us to us through the edit. I think she never actually explicitly tells us that's the reason why.
And I think that's really interesting, because, like, you know, narratively, and I guess even from, well, narratively from Charlie's perspective, like, not even thinking of the film as like something written down on the page, but thinking of this as like, if I were in this person's shoes, what would I want to hear? You know, Charlie wants to hear, would probably want to hear a concrete reason, like, I did not do this because I felt this way after this happened or something. Yeah. Like, later on, he even, you know, he tells people that, oh, she didn't go through with it because she had a friend that died in a car crash.
Which is lying, not for her.
But, like, that's a concrete reason that, like, you know, he can make sense in his head, when in reality, like, the actual reason is this, you know, like you said, someone else did it for, well, the actual reason, if there is, there is no real concrete reason. There's someone else did it, and, like, she had to reckon with that, but not in a way of, like, oh, he did it first, now I'm not the cool person anymore. It's like, no, he did it first, and now you are getting to see, you know, you're getting a preview of what will happen when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the moment passed. Like, there are so many points where she's this close to going through with it, and something happens to, like, stop her. Like, when she's trying to write that letter, she's up all night, and it just never ends up working out.
Right.
And, yeah. Like, you know, that's... Yeah,
that could have just been the reason why it didn't happen.
Like, yeah. Theoretically. The thing is, that's not a narratively satisfying reason. Like, you don't go, oh, I was trying to, you know, record something on my webcam, and the webcam kept failing. But, like, you know, you're in one emotional state, and then eventually it just passes. And, like, you know, how do you say... oh, I was going to shoot up a school, but the moment passed. Like, that doesn't sound right.
It's not a good reason to give your fiance.
No. But that's the thing, is there is no... That's
the best explanation.
Yeah. There is no concrete reason. It's just, like, people change, and there were a bunch of things that happened that, you know, in their own little way contributed to her having a change of heart in this area.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, but yeah,
and like, even just... the like anti-gun activism, she kind of got volunteered for that. She really took to it.
Right, yeah,
but, like, someone just pointed at her and was like, "You could help us." And it's like, oh, yeah, okay, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole predicament, like, again, I think it would have been different if this was, like, in a controlled environment. And she told him and this was something that she's been holding back. I think he would have received it a lot differently, you know. But, like, coming out, like, they're all drunk. It kind of blows up both of their social circles because, I mean, this is interesting. Like, she doesn't seem to have any friends or a social life, which I don't know if that's, like, that was intentional. But, like, I mean, they kind of reference it at the end, right? I think these are just other things that, like, are probably on Charlie's mind when he's, like, is something wrong with my fiance, I guess. Where was I going with that?
You were saying it blows up both of their social
lives. Oh, yeah, it blows up both their social lives, and we have essentially Charlie's best friend and his best friends. I think I would say they were really close friends to him. Him and the maid of honor and the best man were both Charlie's initial friends.
Mm-hmm.
Very close friends. And because of the way this comes out, his social life's blown up. Due to the way he acts, his work life blows up too, I would say. And that's why, like, it kind of, by the end of this movie, they're very different people, and not just in terms of their relationship, but their relationship to everyone around them. You know, I we were talking earlier about, like, maybe someone who's actually bad, I'd say Rachel's character, or the character Rachel, played by Alana Haim, is probably the worst person in the movie by far, but she's hilarious too. I love her character. This is where the drama is coming from, and I love her for it. She is personally extremely offended by this, Emma almost shot a school because her cousin's in a wheelchair because of a mass shooting. Her being the maid of honor, it really blows up a lot of the wedding plans, and then also just their personal lives in general. So they're trying to figure out this situation with her. And I don't really know. I think she's kind of toxic, and I don't really understand where she's coming from. I mean, I kind of understand where she's coming from, but I think it's still funny how, like, I think everyone else's, like, confessions were actually worse than Emma's, to be honest. And, like, we just, like, skip over it, which is interesting because it's also, like, so what is, like, what defines a socially acceptable horrible thing to do versus, like, a non-socially acceptable horrible thing to do, even when you don't do it? You know,
which is really, and it's so weird where that line is drawn, if it's drawn at all, because Rachel, Alana Haim, she admits to essentially killing a mentally handicapped child. Like,
oh, and now, he didn't die. Well, he could have. That, very well would have died.
That's the thing. He didn't technically die.
Right.
Like, he was still alive, so it's fine. But she, like, locks him in a trailer in the middle of the woods that no one has, that like, no one knows about. And it's like, that's a horrifying thing, full of malice and everything. Yeah. And, like, on the one hand, you can make the argument that Emma is also admitting to something malicious, but she, like, doesn't go through with the malicious part.
Yeah. A crime isn't really a crime unless you know, do it. Thinking about a crime isn't a crime.
Yeah.
She and also literally committed a crime.
And, like, I mean, we get this through context, but thinking about a crime and then not doing it because you're like, no, you know what? That's a bad thing to do. Like, she thought better. She had a change of heart. Mm-hmm. Versus, you know, Rachel, it's not a crime because no one died. Not because she didn't do it. And it actually is, like, probably a crime, actually.
And she's still in denial of it. She won't admit she did anything really horrible.
Yeah, when it gets brought up, too, it's like, you almost killed a mentally handicapped person. It's like, well, first off, he wasn't mentally handicapped. I said he was slow. And secondly, I didn't kill him. He didn't die. It's like, okay,
it's like cool. Schrodinger's crime or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... It is funny, and I think it is it does, that's like, that's another layer. It just brings into this emotional context of, like, what, where are moral lines drawn, what is okay, what's not okay. And I think the truth is just, like, some people are going to be fine with some things and the other people aren't, and that's unfortunate, but there's no, humans are feeling creatures, and, you know, like, we watch movies where we can excuse murder because we're cheering for the good guy or the main character, you know? And it's kind of in this sense, like, Rachel just apparently seems to have a very deep hatred of specifically any thought or, like, Matt, like, obviously everyone, no one likes mass shootings, right? But she seems very emotionally attached to that specifically because of her cousin, and therefore has a very strong emotional bias towards even a thought. Or if someone made a joke about it around her, she would be very upset, you know?
And I think you were sort of saying this earlier, and I forget the exact words, so I'm going to be paraphrasing pretty brutally. But, like, with all of the stuff that they admit to, it's like, you know, where's the line of what's a socially acceptable crime and what isn't? Because, like, for all the people other than Emma, I would argue that those are way worse things. Like, even
holding your girlfriend up to protect you from a dog attack is pretty horrifying.
Using your girlfriend as a human shield, really bad. Yeah. Almost killing a neighborhood kid by locking him in a trailer until he either gets found or is never found and, like, dies of starvation, really bad. Even Charlie's, which is, like, the least specific of those, he, like, cyberbullied a kid. That's, like, an active thing that he did to someone.
No, but he cyberbullied him so much the kid had to move away.
Yeah, which is, like, really bad.
Really bad. Yeah. And also he seems very uncomfortable. He's the one that says the least about anything.
Yeah.
So he obviously carries a lot of guilt about that and knows how bad it was. So who knows how much worse it actually was compared to, like, what he told us, you know?
But I guess, like, all of those things are, like, even if they're very specific, it's weird that those are all quote unquote socially acceptable crimes, and then just, like, Emma even bringing up a school shooting with very little extra context, even with the extra context, but even just her bringing it up is, like, immediately that crosses a line.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the details of that are, despite the fact that everything else there, at the very least, should have also crossed that same line. It's just that social acceptability of the crime, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm going to be honest, if I was in that same scenario and someone brought up school shooting, I think I would also be really like, whoa, what? Like, that's like, even, you know, watching the movie, you're like, holy shit, like, that's insane. And it's like, I think it's just because it's like the levels, like, school shooting is kind of seen as, like, one of the worst possible sins imitable, which I think it is, you know?
Yes.
And like, so, but that's like, I think the way our minds were even having that brought up in especially in like a social context is just like horrifying for anyone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's what's so interesting about it is like, it's a very human reaction, honestly. Like, yeah, like I think if you looked at it from an extremely logical perspective, like she's the one that didn't actually commit a crime. She's the only one there that's like not a bad person, right?
Yeah.
But the way our brains are wired, we hear this, we hear keyword, we hear almost did it. We're like, oh my God, she's a horrible person. Holy shit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's like, I think, to be honest, like I would be really shocked and unsure how to go forward with her as either my fiance or as my friend either, because that's a very surprising thing to bring up, you know?
But I think that, but Charlie brings up something later that like, I thought was really interesting. And you know, he's making something explicit that, maybe didn't even need to be said, but I appreciate that it was. He's, you know, he brings up at one point later, like, isn't this just part of the culture here? I don't know. He says it in that word, in those exact words, but like, school shootings happen every day in the United States, and they've been happening every day for so long that at a certain point, like, normal is the wrong word, but this is a country, but it's a country where this regularly happens. Like, probably a lot of people have thought, not necessarily about actually carrying it out or even thought about like doing it, being on that side, but people have probably thought intrusive thoughts that have to do with school shootings because we can't control what everyone thinks. And school shootings are like a part of the landscape now.
Yeah.
And like, I think that, you know, this movie, I do not think this movie is about school shootings, but I think that what an interesting aspect of this movie is that it's a movie that takes place in an America where school shootings are common, which is just the America that we live in now. But I was talking to my uncle about this the other day too. Like, you wouldn't have seen this in you wouldn't have seen a movie like this in the 70s for a lot of different reasons. But one of those being school shootings weren't that common in the 70s.
Yeah.
I think they still happened in the 70s, and like, I don't think they happened anywhere else in the 70s. So maybe, you know, maybe I'm throwing America under the bus in the 70s a little more than I should here, but like, it was not a common occurrence until very recently. And now it's a common occurrence that like is so much a part of the culture that like you absolutely can blame Emma however you want for her actions or inactions or whatever. But like, I don't think that it's actually makes a lot of sense to look at Emma as an anomaly in this particular world. Like, she's probably one of hundreds of thousands of, well, she's probably one of hundreds or thousands of people who have thought about and maybe even almost carried out a school shooting and then not done it for some reason.
Yeah.
Stopped at some point in that process.
Yeah. And it is interesting like that. I mean, to be honest, that quote, I think I take partly as like very wise wisdom from Charlie, but then it's also just like, he's also low key kind of bullshitting just to get out of this.
Well,
like, he's like, I'll say anything to like get out of this situation. Cause you know, he's like, it's a tough position to be in. He's just trying to figure it out.
And Charlie is also in the enviable position that I am also in, not being at, or well, I guess maybe not fully the same position, but like, I am saying all of this as a Canadian in Canada.
Yeah.
And Charlie is saying all of this as a British person in America. So he's like, you know, he can be like, hey, isn't this just what you people do here?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That's kind of what it felt like. He can be outside of it, right? Like,
it felt like kind of these, like, by the way, I'm British. And like, we don't do that's weird. We don't do that in
yeah.
England. What was I going to say? It's like, considering how much, like, does it make it any better if Zendaya just never told anyone versus like telling someone, you know, like what's the line there? Like, when is this something we have to talk about with our fiance or whatever too, you know, before we get married?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's there's just so many complex moral ideas here. And That's just one layer to the movie, because also a really funny movie. There's a lot of, I mean, like, Robert Pattinson is a great comedic actor. I think this is probably the most, like, straight up, like, I would say comedy he's been in. He gets to really show his chops. There's this one scene where he runs into Sam, and this is the cousin that was the victim of a shooting, and she's in a wheelchair. He's like aggressively stopping her and trying to explain to her. Like, he's like, it's like he's talking to someone and explaining what happened with, and she has like literally no context.
Like, it's such a weird situation, because like Sam is brought in, like Sam is Rachel's cousin, who brings her in to ask her if she's okay with her going to this wedding still, but apparently hasn't told her literally anything other than, hey, come to my office, please.
Right.
So Charlie is like running up to her and being like, hey, are you Sam? A random person she's never met before.
Yeah.
Being like, I just want you to know that Emma didn't mean it. And she's like, what do you mean?
And she's like trying to like get away because she feels uncomfortable. And he's like, he like holds her back. it's horrible. Like, it feels like for a second it felt like one of those, like almost like a horror movie scene or something, where you're just like, let me go. He's like, no, like, you're gonna listen to me awkwardly ramble about something that you know nothing about. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and then there's the photographer was hilarious. There's this whole like scene where she's saying the word shoot as in shoot their photos, but she's saying, I'm going to shoot. We're gonna shoot your mom and then your dad, and then your mom and dad together. And then later, there's a lot of great physical comedy where Charlie and Emma are like trying to look happy. It's a couple, and the photographer keeps telling them like, "It's all right, just natural smiles. Yeah, just get into it. Pretend like you love each other." It's like that. It's really, really funny. There's a lot of like just. With such deep and dark commentary, I love how a lot of the comedic moments, like they never feel like out of place, because they really build from just the awkwardness and the drama of the situation in general, and that's why it feels so natural. Because, you probably would get a lot of moments that, you know, like it usually don't make you think of shootings, but now that this is a narrative in your life, you're like, oh, this feels kind of weird now, you know?
Yeah, and it's something that they're refusing to process and having to be normal about everything else at the same yeah. time, which is just a hilarious setup for anything.
Yeah, it's stressful. I don't know, this movie is a great advertisement for why I don't want to have like a wedding ceremony. I think like going through all that while like having a fight with your fiance, is that looks horrible. But yeah, it's a lot of great moments. The DJ was great too. I don't even know, actually the DJ was someone that the replacement DJ, he actually didn't really have anything to do with the morals. His comedy just came because he's just a really weird DJ.
Well, he really came in guy. He came in and he like said comedically the perfect things, just yeah. fully not having any context. Cause like, I think he comes in right after, I think in that very specific moment, Charlie is like thinking of calling off the whole thing literally on the day of the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And the DJ comes in and is like, screw her, man. And it's like, what? What are you talking about? The other DJ. How could she just walk out like that? It's like, oh, okay.
Right. Oh my, I forgot about the other DJ too. She's such an interesting parallel to their story, because
yeah.
the very thing they're dealing with, the DJ is essentially accused of something that she has no recollection of, and she refuses that she did, but they believe that she saw her do something.
And also, even if she, like, I think the DJ... Yeah, I think she does say that, like, she didn't do it. But also, something that is completely irrelevant to what she is currently doing.
Exactly, yeah. I think it's funny that Zendaya's, or Emma's the character that wants to go at her for it, too. It's she's very uncomfortable with this, with something that the DJ may or may not have done. and that has no relevance to their current situation, which is very ironic, to be honest.
And I mean, that moment is interesting for a lot of reasons too, because like Emma is there like lashing out, because it's interesting because like Charlie gets this reputation among his friends for being kind of a pushover, and he kind of is, like, he doesn't deal with things well, and he's really bad with confrontation, and like he won't confront so many people in this particular case, like in that specific scene, he won't confront the DJ about something that she probably didn't even do. But what's interesting is like that's the point where Emma is like, no, we're gonna make this a whole big deal, and then she goes in on the DJ. So it's like Charlie rightfully gets this reputation of being non-confrontational to like the point where he's a bit of a pushover in a lot of situations, but the places where people actually like step in for him and are like, enough is enough, we're gonna do a confrontation now, are ones where he would be, where he's actually completely justified in not confronting them, because it's actually not a big deal.
It's, I don't know, that was such an, always such a weird, like, it didn't really click for me for a while, but that, like, it's such a perfect, like, it's like not even Emma is willing, like Emma's kind of almost like a hypocrite to her own defense, if that makes sense. Like, how do I say this? Like the I don't even know how to say it. Like the vagueness, the DJ doesn't get a second chance, or doesn't get a chance at redemption for something he may or may not have done. Which is very interesting, because again, it's just like, it just further, these are complex characters where people were very emotional, and that's usually how we end up acting, not logically. Another example of no logic is Charlie almost banging his coworker, which just came out of nowhere too, and further adds to the drama. And she's an interesting character too, because I think she's a self-admitted cheater, and she's like, it's horrible, and she's like, I keep going for guys that are horrible to me. And to be honest, like, she seemed to be very into the cheating because she has a boyfriend too. And you know, that's another example of a character that, like, her actions and her words don't really seem to line up very well. Which is, I think, just every character in this movie, to be honest, actually. But yeah.
Yeah, there's I actually watched another movie the other day that reminded me a little bit of this, and I won't talk about it too much, because I don't want to spoil that movie in a episode where we're not even talking about it, but I want to recommend it. There's a movie that just came out in the States. It had a premiere in Toronto here. I don't know if it's coming, if it's going to have a full release in Canada. I hope it will. Called Our Hero Balthazar, which is about, it stars Asa Butterfield and Jaden Martell. And actually, interestingly enough, Anna Baryshnikov, who plays Sam in the drama, she's also in this movie as another woman who just like kind of gets caught in the middle of things.
Right.
But it's about a rich kid, like a very, very rich kid from New York, who is chronically online on Instagram, and like gets the idea that there's this guy in Texas who's about to commit a school shooting. So he's like, I can stop him, I can make him better, and this will impress my crush here in New York, because I will have saved a school in Texas. And like goes to try and befriend this guy in Texas. And it's all about, like, it is all about kind of, it's all about a different theme that is, that kind of pushes through the drama of like, what is it like to, you know, what is it like to grow up in and, you know, perform any kind of emotion or personhood in this world where school shootings are just normal? Because also, and I mean, this is the closest I'm going to get to spoilers about Our Hero Balthazar. It's also not a movie about school shootings. Mm-hmm. It's also a movie about a world where school shootings are normal, and like, and that's it. And I guess I brought that up when you brought up Misha here, because again, it's like, it's a person who is, you know, she acts one way and performs another, and are those, and those like on their surface are, you know, kind of at odds with each other, but she's a complex character that has like a lot going on. It's interesting.
I guess I want to talk about the ending last of all, obviously. So I I guess I think that it's just like the way it's the conversation goes, it just feels final for me. And I don't know why. Like, I guess like because it does make sense, like leading up to it, like you said, they had this thing where like even earlier in the movie after they fought, she's like, I really want, can we just have a fresh start?
Mm-hmm.
And like he's not playing along with it, but she's like really trying to make it work. And then at the end of the movie, he's playing along with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it felt very just like bittersweet. It didn't feel like a new beginning. It felt like kind of like a it just felt like escapism for a second. Like, can we just forget about what just happened and just be mm-hmm. two people again for a little bit before we have to go back and essentially deal with the falling out of our entire lives, essentially. That's just like the vibe I got, and like I totally understand why you could interpret that, and like logistically it actually makes more sense. But in a movie that every character defies logic for feeling, I feel like they don't get together. That's my interpretation.
And maybe this is going back on something I said earlier. I hope it's not going back on something I said explicitly, but I don't necessarily get the feeling that they get together at the end. Like, I do feel, to me, that feels very honestly like a new beginning. But to be totally honest, I'm not sure that like a real honest beginning between those two would work out. Like, they seem like a good enough, they seem like maybe a good enough couple at points in the movie. But like, even if I do sincerely believe that like that last moment is like a better couple moment for them than they've maybe had the entire movie, I don't necessarily think it's the harbinger of like a budding and good relationship. Like, not that it would be a bad relationship. It's just like sometimes, you know, you have that beginning and it doesn't work out. And like, this is the one where, you know, this to me feels like the interaction where whatever comes next is going to at least be honest. Like that first time of them meeting in the coffee shop, you know, he lies about having read a book and he gets another chance. And then he lies about having read another book again. And then they move on into a relationship that's not, I don't quite want to say, I think it's built on a lie, implies a lot more than what I mean with that. But like, it's starting from a place of dishonesty. And I think at the very end, you know, whatever comes next is starting from a place of honesty. That might be that they go their separate ways and sort of figure out how to pick up the pieces and then move on to different people. But like, it is like the first true, maybe not the first, but it is like a truly honest moment to end the move on, end the movie on. And like, you know, whatever comes next is whatever comes next. But it does feel, it feels like by the end, they're a better couple than they have been. The thing is that a better couple than they have been might not actually be a couple, because maybe they shouldn't be together in the first place.
I don't know if this is like something like, I don't know, maybe I'm just like very pessimistic towards relationships and movies, but like, I don't know, at the start, it felt like something was slightly off between them too. And I don't know if that's just like, I don't even know like why. It's just like, did you get that vibe at all either? Like, it just felt they were a couple that like, they obviously like had great, they had good chemistry. They loved each other, but like, there was just something, they just seemed like on slightly different. I don't even know how to say it. Like, yeah, but you felt it.
It didn't feel like they knew each other. Like, there's obviously that there is obviously that moment later on where she, you know, at the big reveal where, you know, Charlie learns probably the worst thing he could learn about his partner. But at that point, the reason it spirals so much is that he doesn't actually know who this person is. Like, he doesn't know her very well. They're like, it's like a crush that I guess was working out and moved very fast, but they didn't really know each other very much. Like, frankly, I didn't even know what Emma did the entire time. And, you know, on one hand, that's on me for not watching the movie closer, but like, it didn't come up. And this movie, I feel, is very much primarily from Charlie's perspective, the fact that Emma's job doesn't come up very much. Oh, no, now I remember. Now I remember it does come up like one or two times. But like,
there's one scene where she's at work, but they don't really clarify what she does. There's some project that she was working on with her, the maid of honor.
It's some kind of magazine thing.
Yeah, okay.
But like, you know, all of the stuff that doesn't come, like the fact that so little of Emma comes up other than the school shooting bits is, I think, in part pretty emblematic of the fact that Charlie doesn't actually know who she is.
Yeah, and like, I don't know how long they were together. And honestly, like, from what I can tell, just it felt like a year. Like, it didn't feel like a long,
yeah, long, it was,
you know,
it was a year or two, but it wasn't much longer than that.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know, like, I guess like the only example I can think of it is that like dance scene where it's like, it just, it seems like even like for their marriage, like, you think this is something they really planned out, right? And like, understood, we're on the same level on. But then it's like a week before the wedding and she's like, I don't like, can we just do a fun dance? And he's like, no, I need to do like a formal stylized performance. And like, there's nothing wrong with either one, but it's like, I feel like that wasn't there for no reason. Like, this was trying to say that like they love each other, there's something there, but also like there's something that they just don't really get each other's yet.
Exactly.
And like, yeah, if you're like having a fight or you're having an argument about the dance routine, like the week of the wedding, like, you know, it's something you should have talked about, obviously.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal, but it's the kind of thing that like shouldn't become a bigger deal than that. Like, it shouldn't lead to a kind of falling out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah.
Great movie. Good movie. I don't know. Honestly, literally, I could talk about this movie for hours, and I would always find something else to like mention or like want to like go in on. There's so many layers. Like, even like the movie doesn't even do that. The book, the gun book with the women. What was that? That was so weird.
Yeah, that was because like, was that?
And then
was
I
that
think...
at least mostly a real book, or was that totally fictional? I wonder.
I don't know. And like, what? Who gave it to him, or does it just come with his mail? And then like, was he? I think he was kind of turned on by it as well. Like,
I mean, he started like.
Oh, he was imagining Emma with the gun, right? And
in long, which on the one hand, it's like, that's kind of horrifying, but is it horrifying? It's kind
of hot. I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, I could literally talk about this movie for hours, but it's a great movie. Definitely, I don't know if it's gonna see like any. I hope it sees Oscar buzz. It's just so weird, though, that I'm like, and it's not weird in like, I wouldn't say it's weird in like a groundbreaking like cinema way. It's just weird, and it feels very like artsy and niche, if that makes sense. So I don't know if the Oscars will really pick up on it.
Here, but you should. I haven't watched this, but I have heard this movie compared to another movie called The Celebration, which you should watch. And I should watch. And if it's good, if it's a cool enough movie and there's enough to talk about, maybe we do another episode on The Celebration.
Ooh, this is so cool. What was the one? Oh, I will say, like, coming from Gene Scenario, from what I know of this director, this feels like a very good progression in terms of the style. I think a lot of Dream Scenario, it was like so close to like really being special to me. But there was just, I think it's like the writing kind of fell flat for me, and like the progression of the narrative, I think. This movie, the narrative progressed very well and it flowed very well. And I think a lot of like the kind of dark humor quirks from Dream Scenario that didn't really hit in terms of humor really hit here. Because the humor was, it's just very, you know, very dark, awkward sense of humor. It just flowed way better for the drama, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, recently I've been, when I'm watching movies, I'm trying to, like, find out who, you know, the real provocateurs are right now. Because, like, when I think of, like, actually provocative cinema, like, the types of movies that I watch them and they make me angry and I can't explain why, and, like, you know, where people have passionate both loves of them and, you know, really, really, really hate them. for all for valid reasons. I think of like Lars von Trier and what's the other guy? Michael Haneke. I'm trying to think of like who is, I'm trying to find like that same sense of provocation in newer movies. And I find a lot of people that like get, you know, they kind of feel like they're getting there, but they're not there. I don't think Christopher Borgli is nearly at the level of like, this is not Funny Games, for example, but like, I do find his social commentary pretty interesting. If like not, it's not perfect, but it does. You know, I find it does provoke a lot of interesting reviews of people being like, this guy doesn't get it, in a way that I actually think, I don't know how to say this, but like in a way that I actually think he, you know, kind of indicates that he does. I don't know. I don't know if any of what I said,
I don't understand,
makes sense. what I am trying to get at here is, I remember in Dream Scenario, one part that I think is actually part one of the weaker parts of the movie, but is more interesting for me to think about the further I get from Dream Scenario, and is what I've seen be one of the more criticized parts, is he near the end, he like, so in Dream Scenario, just to sum up, like Nick Cage starts appearing in people's dreams, and then like one person, I think it's a female student, has a nightmare about him. And like, this is an entire scenario that he cannot control, because for whatever reason, people are just seeing him in their dreams, completely out of his control. He's not a dream walker. It's just a weird thing that happened. But then he like starts catching flack for being in someone's nightmare. Again, another thing he can't control. And the thing that actually like kills his reputation, like seals the deal for him, isn't that he is canceled for something beyond his control, is that he doubles down and makes like a really whiny YouTube video about how he's been canceled, and that's what cements him as like that's what fully tanks his reputation. And I think that's the more interesting thing for me to think back on, and like that's a part of the movie that I know, you know, didn't resonate with a lot of people, because it's like, oh, it's about cancel culture and he's taking the side of the cancel culture guy. And I don't think he is. Like, I think what's happening there is, you know, this guy is being quote unquote canceled for something he didn't do, but that he's actually being canceled for the one part that he really did fully have control over, which I think is really interesting. And just, and in this too, like this movie is aesthetically has a lot to say about school shootings, but really that's not the part that's bad. Like that's actually weirdly that's completely unrelated to the parts of the movie that are like actually bad.
Any horrible crime.
Like, yeah. In fact, older. Yeah. And in fact, like the important part is that she didn't go through with it, because the most horrible crime that's listed here is something that, you know, Rachel actually did go through with. And that's like, you know, no one, I mean, people bring it up again, but like Rachel doesn't catch that much flack for it, because that's socially acceptable.
Yeah.
But then like the difficult part of it, the moral conundrum that everyone's working through is like, okay, she admitted to a horrible thing that she didn't do. Is she a psychopath? No, probably not. But you know, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Hopefully that longer explanation makes more sense than whatever vague explanation I had before.
No, it does.
But like, I think he's got an interesting social commentary. Yeah. If not necessarily perfect.
I'm curious to see how he furthers doing that, because I just think the drama was just a step up in every way. Mm-hmm. I think he clarified what he wanted to say further. I thought it was just better directed, the acting was, they all worked with the actors better, etc., etc. Yeah, drama, go watch it, it's a good movie, best movie
do of it year
so far.
What's the last word, Pierre?
Wedding, there you go.